Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Picking up the cross of Christ, not a very popular subject today. Oh, we are perfectly fine discussing all that Jesus accomplished for us by going to the cross. That part is okay. Where we balk is when it comes to applying the cross to our own lives. For all the sermons on the cross of Christ, there are practically no sermons that instruct us that if anyone would come after Jesus, they must also pick up their cross to follow Him. Going to the cross ourselves and crucifying the deeds of the flesh, the pride of life, our sinful passions, this does not make good material for a popular sermon. But we are to have the full counsel of Christ. There is nothing to do but read through the whole Bible, find out what it says, and then do it. So we're going to continue tackling this difficult area in a few minutes right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We've been talking about Jesus' words, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." These words are very far-reaching and apply to every single one of us. And why do I say that? Because he said, "If anyone would come after me." And that means that no one is accepted. If you live in a region that is intolerant to Christianity, your following after Messiah Jesus could mean imprisonment or death. In America, things haven't gone as far as that yet, though it doesn't seem like it's too far away. But that does not mean that we don't have a cross to pick up. Our cross is to crucify the things in our lives that are against the Spirit of the Lord. That means the sin in our lives must be crucified. It's not optional. If we say we love the Lord, but we are not applying the grace of God to our sins to get rid of them, then we are not picking up our cross. The Word says, if by the Spirit we are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. So these things need to be addressed, and they can't be glossed over. We're going through a study on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. And we've been discussing the different areas where we need to pick up the cross of Christ. And we covered quite a bit last lesson. If you missed it, you can either buy a copy of the book yourself from Amazon. It's very inexpensive. Or you can go to Skies Revival Radio, where we have the messages archived, and you can pull up lesson 39 to catch the rest of this lesson, which was previous to this. So now we come to the next area of picking up our cross to follow Him, and that is to put to death the passions of the flesh. We are geniuses for holding on to all our pleasures, and these things are a stumbling block to following the Lord Jesus. And that's what we'll tackle now. We'll explore two aspects of pleasures. The first area is our passionate pleasures. These pleasures include all the animal appetites, including food, drink, alcohol, smoking, music, entertainment, and sex. Some areas, such as the use of street drugs or the misuse of prescription drugs, can be easily dealt with. Don't do it. Though some people who are just emerging from a lifestyle of drug abuse claim to have enlightened moments on drugs and try to continue the practice while growing in God, it can't be done. If you want to grow in Christ, you must put away all that is of darkness. This goes for partying, drunkenness, immorality, worldly concerts. These are what we call gross sins, or sins that are so obviously against Christ that we don't even need to discuss it. The words of the Apostle Paul suffice. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That's Romans 13, verses 12 through 14. And then Romans 6, 6 through 12. Our old self was crucified with him that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your body, that you should obey its lusts. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Not much wiggle room there. So here we see clearly this concept that it is the cross of Christ that frees us from sin. It is being crucified with him. This crucifixion is the ability to abstain from earthly lusts and passions, meaning we can put it aside and not be involved in it anymore. It is putting to death the desires that ran rampant in us before we met Jesus. What God is promising us here is that he will allow us the privilege and the strength to lay all these things aside. If we will give him our will, that is, our determination to pursue these sinful things, if we look up to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know how I can live without these things, but I'm willing to. Would you please clean them out of my life? That person will be granted the freedom and the strength to stop. So if you are struggling with sin that you can't get out of, if you are struggling with alcohol abuse and drugs and you can't get out of it, just go before the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me from these things. Give me the strength to stop. Many, many testimonies come forth from those who have been hopeless drug addicts and alcoholics. As they have given their lives to Jesus, he has delivered them from their addictions. This is the power of Christ. If you are struggling with some of these things, as many are, the key is your will. Give your will over to God and tell him you want to become obedient and follow after him. That is a prayer he will always answer. If you can't bring yourself to that point yet, simply be honest and say, Lord, I want to follow you, Please give me the desire to stop all my sinful pursuits. He is gracious and will hear that cry as well. The result of such prayer is wonderful. By picking up our cross to follow Jesus, which in this case is the desire to lay aside our sins, that means we are becoming conformed to his death. That is, like him, we are putting away our own pleasures to do what is pleasing to God, to become obedient. When we do that, we are also joined with him in his resurrection. We are lifted up and filled with the true joy of living. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might also walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." That's Romans 6, 4 and 5. Now, once we have given God all of our gross sins, he then begins a cleanup of the rest of our passions. First, let's try to understand exactly what a passion is. We listed some of the passions, and they included things like food. Now, since we must have food in order to live, how can that be a passion? Good question. God has granted us all types of lawful pleasures. In fact, he made us and this whole wonderful universe for our pleasure and our delight. The unending variety of foods and spices show us that he designed these things with us in mind. So God is not like the concept that was so prevalent during the Dark Ages, that if it's enjoyable, it's evil, and we have to avoid it. Centuries of religious people have built their lives on abstaining from every pleasant thing. God takes no pleasure in withholding good from his children any more than a loving parent would take any pleasure in setting out a beautiful meal before the children and then saying, "I'm sorry, you can't have any of it." You see, that's a totally twisted idea of God. God delights in giving good things to his children. Unfortunately, the problem enters with us, not surprisingly, because we enjoy those good things improperly. We take something good and we make something bad out of it. We do that by simply taking things too far. We make too much of our food. We make too much of our drink. We make too much of our music and our sex. What would be lawful within the limits that God has prescribed becomes unlawful when we go beyond those limits. So let's go to the illustration of the speed limit, because it perfectly and easily demonstrates lawful pleasures. Say you're driving along and you exceed the speed limit. And then, because of your desire to feel the thrill of going fast, you end up getting an expensive ticket. Now you're devastated, and you determine you can't ever drive again because the police are after you. Well, that's ridiculous. The police don't require you to stop driving. They simply require that you stay within the speed limit. If you obey the limit, you have the freedom to enjoy driving wherever you want, whenever you want. And that's just the way it is with all of God's lawful pleasures. If they are enjoyed within the limits, they can be enjoyed with God's blessing. If they are taken beyond the limits, we will pay the price for breaking the law. When we go too far, a pleasure, a lawful pleasure, becomes an unlawful passion. pleasure is legal, passion is illegal. Why is passion illegal? Because it has turned one of our desires into an idol, a false god that takes the place of the living God. God desires us to be able to enjoy pleasures in Him, that is, with His blessing and with a spirit of thankfulness. This can be done as long as we enjoy things moderately. The moment we cross the line by letting it become a passion, we no longer have His blessing, and the passion begins to kill our soul. The Apostle Peter sums it up. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. That's 1 Peter 2:11. Does that mean we can never enjoy anything again? No, of course not. He just wants it to be lawful. That was the mistake the ascetics and the monks made in the early days of Christianity, and by it ended up in various heresies, such as combining Christianity with Stoicism. Of course, now the question is, how do we know what the legal limits are to God? Well, in some cases, it is clearly defined, and in others, we have to follow principles and guidelines. In the case of sexual relations, what are the legal boundaries? Sexual sin abounds in our society, and the music industry has become a virtual fountain of immorality. It's almost impossible to escape the perversion. The spirit of lust invades every corner of our world. Does that mean sexual relations are wrong? No. God made it to be a delight within certain boundaries. He also set up guidelines to optimize our relations with our spouse. So, what are the guidelines? First, it must be within the confines of legal marriage. There are no exceptions to this. There is no time when you can know in your heart that this time it's all right because you love each other and you are committed. Isn't God being a little too strict for our modern times? That standard couldn't possibly apply to us now. Well, is it too strict that He doesn't want to see you a year from now with a little baby and no husband? God knows human nature, and it is you He is trying to protect. No matter what your feelings are, sex cannot be legally enjoyed as an affair, which is adultery, or between two young people before marriage, which is fornication. Believe God, this is for your good, not His. The second guideline, once you are married, your love life can be optimized by following His laws of love. Lust is a passion. Love is a virtue. Lust is going into relations, even with your wife or husband, thinking of your own pleasure, and he or she then becomes an object of your satisfaction. This is the most common condition in married couples today. This makes it a self-centered experience, which your partner will find very unfulfilling. Don't think that just because you're married, anything goes and you are free to indulge your lusts. Love is the law. Lust breaks the law and brings a penalty. The penalty in this case is that it will be completely unsatisfying for both of you. God is closer than you think, and He watches over all things. To enter into love and have a lawful, God-blessed experience, all you have to do is start thinking about the other person, start to be concerned with giving him or her pleasure, and suddenly everything is working right. As you use yourself to bless your mate, you suddenly have sex being used properly and within God's laws. And God himself will bless your time of intimacy and make it wonderfully fulfilling for you both. Isn't that amazing? Well, I'd like to continue from here, but we've run out of time. So I want to encourage you to continue on examining your heart, letting the Holy Spirit really search you and bring about real revival in your heart. Go back to the last lessons and spend some time going over them as well. We look forward to getting together with you next time. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.
who feels every pain when little one suffers. She feels it the same. Good Heavenly Father, whose heart made it so, feel less for His children when trials overflow. Tender, tender, His mercy. When